this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, why don't you turn to Galatians chapter 1. It will be up on the screen. I'll be reading from it up here as well. So just before we read, I want to give you a little bit of background. We're continuing our series that Mark started last week called Jesus is Enough. And last week, Mark started in Galatians and basically shared about the other gospel that was coming into the church. Now, Paul had planted the church at Galatia, right? He had gone and he had planted this church and visited it and was building it and preaching to the people in Galatia. And what happened is when he left, what happens is when you have someone building into your life, especially as a new Christian, and then they leave, what happens is another voice will come in and want to start speaking into your life and say, oh, I know Mark says this, but, you know, actually, let me give you some clarity. And it starts to sow doubt. And this is what happened in the Galatian church, because Paul had established this church and he had shared the true gospel of God. And now these guys were coming in and saying, you know, what Paul said is that you're saved by grace. And that's true, but it's not enough. He says, not only grace, but you also need to be circumcised in order to be a believer. And so Paul was having to deal with this, and that's what he's dealing with in this letter now. So we're going to follow on from there today. And we're going to be reading from verse 11, so if we can put that up. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Next one. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the nations, or among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him for 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, that we're able just to unpack it tonight and see what you're trying to speak to us about, God. And I just pray that I just be a vessel for you. Lord, may you speak your words and not my own into our hearts this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So here in verse 11 and 12, the first two we read, Paul emphasizes something. He emphasizes that this gospel that he's preached, all right, previously to these Galatians and to everyone else, this gospel that he preached did not come from man. This was his emphasis. He said, it does not come from man, and nor was he taught it by anyone. He said, but he received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. All right, Acts 9, verse 1 to 19, it actually shares the story of Saul's conversion. And Saul is the same as Paul, so if you don't know that and you get confused, like one lady was this morning, she came to me and said, the Bible says Saul, but you kept saying Paul. All right, so we know that Saul, after his conversion, was known as Paul. So just for the sake of tonight, I'm going to be referring to him as Paul. So Paul is on his way to Damascus, and he's going for a purpose. And his purpose is to find people like you and me. People who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And his purpose of going there was to go and find these people and arrest them and throw them in prison. That was his purpose. Right? He didn't like this Jesus movement. He didn't like the fact that people were preaching grace for salvation, whereas the law of Moses said you have to be circumcised. He didn't like this, so he was persecuting the church. And we know the story, but just shortly, he was on his way, and about halfway, the Bible says, Paul met Jesus face to face. All right, and Jesus said, "Paul, why do you persecute me?" And Paul says, "Well, who are you, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus, the Messiah, the one who you are persecuting." And then he sends Paul to Damascus and says, "Wait for me, I'm going to send someone to you." And this huge encounter with Jesus is so significant because it's vitally important to understand, because of Paul's claim that his revelation was from Jesus Christ and not from man. Now, if Paul hadn't met Jesus face to face, what would have happened was that people probably wouldn't believe his claim. All right, why? Because he used to destroy the church, or he wanted to destroy the church. He was coming at you, killing. He was a murderer. He used to kill Christians or throw them in prison. And so anybody who's a human being would have a little bit of doubt that this guy's changed. All right, but the fact that he says that his revelation comes from Christ is only supported by the fact that he actually met Jesus face to face. No one else would have believed him had he not met Jesus. And so Paul at this stage begins to tell a little bit of his story and his testimony of who he was before he met Jesus and now who he is after he met Jesus. And he starts off, and he starts in verse 13. He says, "For you have heard." All right, so he knows, you know who he is. He knows that these guys in Galatia knew who he was. All right, he says, "You have heard." Why? Because I used to persecute you. You were afraid of me. You used to run and hide from me. "You have heard of me. And this is what I was like." And he says, he intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. He was on a mission to kill and destroy Christians. Anyone who believed in Jesus as the Son of God, he was on a mission to kill them and destroy them. He hated this Jesus movement and he wanted it gone, abolished from history. But then he also goes on to say something that's quite important. He says he was well educated. Right, where did he say that, you say? I'll tell you in verse 14. He says, "I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age." All right, he was educated. Not just one guy in a varsity that's doing well, but like the top guy. All right, he knew the law of Moses. He was a strict religious law keeper. And because of that, one of the Pharisees, he would go out and try and destroy anyone who would contradict him because he knew what he was talking about. He even says that he was the most knowledgeable out of all of his peers. So he was the top guy. If you think of a guy, professor of science, I spoke about it on Friday night. What was that guy's name? Bill Nye. Okay, you just check in that you were listening. I actually knew. But well done. All right, Bill Nye is the top scientist, or he's like the science guy. You know that show that used to be on TV, Bill Nye the Science Guy. All right, he was the know-it-all about science. So he's one of the top scientists in the world. But if we contrast that in the Jewish law, this was Saul, this was Paul. Right? He was this guy. He was so well known. Oh, he knew what he was talking about. But then this contrast comes after he met Jesus. And he says, "But when God," who, and then he lists three things that God did. Firstly, he set him apart from birth. Right? Paul was set apart before he even became a Pharisee, before he even started studying the law. God had set him apart for a work that he was going to get him to do. And this being set apart is confirmed in Acts 9, verse 15. Let's have the other slide up here. There it is. "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel.'" So if he had any doubt, there was his confirmation. And this happened right after he arrived in Damascus. He was there for 3 days, blinded. He didn't eat. He was weak. And God sent Ananias to him to say, "You're my chosen instrument to preach Jesus to the Gentiles." And now the Gentiles, for those of you who don't know, God has had the chosen nation, which were the Jews. So the Gentiles was everybody else. Everybody who wasn't a chosen nation, part of the chosen nation of God. So Paul's commission was to go to the Gentiles, to everyone who wasn't a Jew, to everyone who didn't follow the law, didn't know the law. That was his commission. Secondly, and this is probably the most important part, he said, who called me through his grace. God who called me through his grace. And this is so vitally important because Paul was called through grace and not through law. Paul wasn't called by God because he was a well-educated man. He certainly wasn't called by God because of the good things he had done, because those were very few. Paul was called by God because God had a plan and a purpose for his life that far extended anything Paul or you and I could ever understand or ever imagine. Right, this was something that he had dreamed up before Paul was even born. He said, I'm going to use you. And so he called him by his grace. The same grace that called him out of his old life is the grace that he began to preach to the Gentiles. And this is significant because it helps us to understand that we didn't choose God, but God chose us. We need to understand that. We might think, no, I made the decision to go before God and say, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. But before that even occurred to us, Jesus was on the cross for you and for me. That was him choosing us. That was his grace being extended to us. And so in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And on Friday night, I was sharing from this verse that we live in this world. There are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of light. And before we are called into God's family, before we become believers, we all lived in the kingdom of darkness. We were slaves to sin and fear, and we were but just in complete bondage and shame and guilt. But then he called us out. This is what the Bible says. He called us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into his marvelous or glorious light, where we were set free from sin. We were set free from this bondage and the slavery and the guilt and the shame. By what? By his grace and his grace alone. So to be called by God means to be chosen by God. He chose you, every single one of you. And more than that, we're called through grace. Not by deeds, not by law, not by anything we can do, but by grace alone. Then Paul says that God was pleased to reveal his Son in me. God was pleased to reveal Jesus in me. And I wonder how many of us can stand here today and say, oh, God is pleased to reveal Jesus in me. Because that should be what we're saying. We should all, as believers, be saying, God is so pleased with me to be able to reveal Jesus in me. Not because of what I've done, but because he chose me. And he's pleased with me because I've chosen him as well. And he wants to use me to share the gospel in the world. So Paul, this is probably mind-blowing, all right? Why? Because he was a sinner. He was a dirty, rotten, evil sinner. He was killing the very people who he's now supporting. So he must have been like, God, why me? How can I get a privilege and an honor of doing this for you when I was the one who wanted to destroy what you had built? But it's such a good reminder that God will use anyone and everyone who submits to him. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God's grace is always big enough for you. It's always sufficient for you. Some people say, oh, but Ross, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. And I don't. And I don't really care, and nor does God. He just knows that once you lay your life at his feet, grace covers all. And you are made new again. And he wants to use you. He will use you as an instrument in his hand. So now the question is, okay, but God who did all these things, set him apart, called him out of grace, and was happy to reveal Jesus in him? What was this all for? What was the purpose of this? And it was one, so that he would preach Jesus. That was the main thing. So that he would preach Jesus. But secondly, he had a specific target in mind, and we said it earlier, that he would preach Jesus to the Gentiles. That was his focus. Peter and the other apostles were preaching Jesus to the Jews, the people who God had laid upon their path, and that was their commission. But Paul's commission was to preach Jesus to the Gentiles. So now we come to the point, and after all of this, that I believe Paul was trying to make. So he mentions all this stuff, but this is the point he was trying to make. That when God called him, he did not consult any man. This is the crux of what he's trying to say. All these things he's just shared, I was set apart, I was called by grace, but I did not consult any man, nor did I go to Jerusalem to the apostles who were before me. When God calls you, God calls you, not man. And this is what Paul realized. He was called by God Almighty. No man on earth could have said to him yes or no. Only God can. And we need to realize, I think some of us sometimes don't understand the call of God. When God calls us, only he can tell us to step up or step down. Only him. No other person come to us and say, I think you should maybe, you know, consider leaving your job because it's not for you. No, if God has called you there, that is where you're going to stay until he tells you to move. No matter how hard it is, no matter how much you're suffering, it's God who you live for, not yourself. And Paul understood this. So Paul met Jesus face to face, realized his purpose in Christ, and he went forward and he preached Jesus to everyone he came across. The beginning of verse 18 says something interesting, or I found it interesting. He says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. So up until what he's just said now, and then till verse 18, there's a three-year gap. And so my immediate question was, well, what has he been doing for 3 years? You know, is he realizes his purpose in Christ, but does he go and hide in like a little cave and practice talking nicely to Christians? Because he certainly wasn't talking nicely to them up until that point. Scripture actually gives us an answer to this question. In Acts 9, verse 19. And again, there you go. And after taking some food, so this is straight after he's met with Ananias now. He regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name, on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. That is what he was doing for 3 whole years. The Bible says, at once. All right, so after this all happened, Ananias had come to him and said, your calling is to preach Jesus to the Gentiles. Go. He had some food and then said, at once he went and he preached Jesus is the Son of God. And I want to ask, you know, how many of us, when we start a new job or, you know, get a promotion, how many of us sort of take our time to sort of get into it, you know? Like, oh, you get a new job, you're like, okay, cool, I'm just going to sort out my desk on the first week, make sure I have all the stationery I need, get to know the people in the building, you know, work my way in slowly. No, not Paul. He had a clear calling from God, and he dived straight in. There was no need to wait. There's no need to get acquainted with someone. He just dove straight in and said, Jesus is the Son of God, and started preaching. And I sometimes feel that's how we need to be in our calling. Not a career. I'm not talking about our career. I'm talking about our calling. So where God leads you to a place and he calls you to minister in that environment, are we fearful and holding back? Or are we bold like Paul was and we dive straight in and we say, hey, Jesus is the Son of God and grace alone will save you? And as he preached and as he shared, Scripture said that he grew in strength more and more, and he actually confused the Jews in Damascus. He confused them because he was preaching grace, but he's the same man who used to persecute the very message that he's preaching. So they were confused. How could this happen? But the Bible says that he grew in strength and probably in confidence as he shared his message again and again and again with everyone that he could come across. Then verse 23, just after that, says, after many days had gone by. So this would probably account for the 3 years. All right, after many days had gone by and Paul was just preaching Jesus to everyone he came across, he goes up to Jerusalem. And there's a purpose that he goes to Jerusalem for. He says, I went to Jerusalem to get acquainted with or to see Peter. So my first thought is, why is he going to see them? You know, if you go to see someone, it's, you know them. You know, oh, I'm going to go see this person because I want to check out how they're doing. I know this person. Oh, I'm going to go see Liam and Kaylee and go visit them and have wraps for lunch, which happened last Sunday. Thank you, by the way. Right, you want to see someone because you know them. But I actually looked up this word see. Some Bibles will say get acquainted with. And it's a word, Greek word, historio. And it's used once in the entire Bible. Once. This is when Peter uses it. And it means to be knowing or to visit for information. That's the purpose of that word. To visit for a certain information or a knowledge that he needs. So, yes, he went up to greet. I mean, these are the other apostles. These are the other people preaching Jesus. So I'm pretty sure they wanted to acquaint with one another and say, yes, I'm Paul. I'm the guy who used to persecute you. You've heard about me. But no, it's all good. We're happy now. I'm doing what you are doing. But it's more than that, because he needed some kind of information. And this historia word suggests a need for something, a need for some kind of information. It's almost like an interview. You go and sit down with someone, you ask them questions, and they give you information. But what is it that he could have gone for? What is it? There's a couple of things that it could have been. There's a possibility that Paul wanted to, you know, check his doctrine. Maybe he wanted to check that what he's been preaching is correct. Now, these are the apostles that walked with Jesus, so they would know. Is this what revelation I received correct, you know? But I don't believe it. I think what was really happening here is Paul went to see Peter because Peter had something that Paul didn't. Peter had a close, intimate walk with Jesus while he was here on earth. Peter was one of the three most trusted people that Jesus had. Everywhere that Jesus went, Peter was following. Right? Jesus went this way, Peter went this way. Jesus went that way, Peter went that way. And yes, Peter was the first one to deny Jesus. But he was also the first one to fight for Jesus. And so he knew Jesus inside and out, probably more than anybody else, other than James, who was Jesus' brother. And so Paul wanted to know this Jesus. Or he knew him, he's met him now, but he wanted to know more about him. And I heard this analogy, it's kind of like when you're in love. Now, I've been told this because I don't know. All right, I've been told that when you're in love, okay, you start a relationship with this person and you're going through life with them and you're learning more and more about them. But whenever you hear this person's name in a conversation, your ears turn quickly to that conversation and you want to know exactly what is being said about this person. So when their mom talks about them, you're like, yes, tell me more. All right? Or when someone speaks about them at their work, you're like, yes, 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 what's she like at work? Yeah, tell me. You know, and you want to know everything about this person. I believe this is what Paul wanted. He had met Jesus, and he'd begun a journey with him, and he had been given a calling, and he's going for it. But he wanted to know about this guy. He wanted to know what Jesus was like when he was here on earth. And so I believe he went to just get this information. Because when you know someone, you can talk about them. When you don't, then it's just rumors. You can say, oh, I heard about this person, and they're like this and this and this. Why? Because you heard about it. But when you know someone intimately, and someone goes, oh, I heard this person's like you, you can say, no, actually, he's not. I know this person. It's the same with Jesus. Do you know Jesus intimately? Do you know who it is that you're preaching? Do you know who it is that you're sharing with other people? Because if you don't, you need to get to know him. And the only way you can do that is by spending time in his word and by spending time communicating with Jesus. So Paul spends time with Peter, and the Bible says also James, and he stays there for only 15 days. Only 15 days. And if you read later in Acts chapter 9, it speaks about Paul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Sorry, that was later on. I can't find it. But he speaks about how he spent time in Jerusalem with the people there. 15 days exact. And the Bible tells us what he was doing. He was preaching Jesus. All right, and I believe he was learning from Paul. And then he goes on. After his trip to Jerusalem, he goes to Syria and Cilicia. And Scripture tells us that the people in those places didn't know him personally. They had only heard about him. They said that this was the man, all right, who used to persecute us. And now he's preaching the very same message he used to try and destroy. And then this is the part that is so incredible. The Bible said that they praised God because of Paul. They praised God because of Paul. They immediately took this knowledge or this hearsay of this guy having a conversion, and they were excited about it. They were like, praise God that this man now works for Jesus. Because we as human beings can be quite funny. It says in Acts here as well, when he went to Jerusalem, when he was spending time in Jerusalem the first time, the disciples there weren't quite convinced, eh? They were like, no, I don't quite believe this is true. And it's like us when we hear of a celebrity, especially a celebrity who's had drugs and alcohol and like, yeah, just off the path, like completely, like far gone, doesn't even know Jesus. And then we hear on the news, he declares that he is a Christian now. And we go, nah, it's not real. It's not happening. Please, man, that can't be real. Because we're skeptical. Is this guy trying to get attention or what? Meanwhile, it could be completely genuine. And these Christians accepted Paul's testimony and said, praise God that this man who once tried to kill us is now preaching the same message that he tried to destroy. So God began a journey of using Paul as an instrument to declare the word of God, to declare that Jesus is the King, or Jesus is the Son of God, and that it is grace and grace alone that saves you. And then later on it says, and this goes into chapter 2, which we'll carry on next week, that he went after 14 years back to Jerusalem. So from the first visit to the second visit to Jerusalem, there was a 14-year gap where he was just preaching Jesus, 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 Jesus to everyone he came across. And then he had to go back to Jerusalem to sort out some issues that were happening in the church. So Mark will carry on with that next week. But I just want you to close your eyes just for a moment. There's two things I just want to highlight. Firstly, you are called. Every single one of us. We are called by God. And like I said earlier, not to a certain job. Yes, you know, God has provided a way for us to have finances. But there's a specific calling on every single one of us to share the good news of Jesus with people around us. And there are a variety of ways you can do this. But my question to you is, are you as zealous and as bold as Paul was to share what God had done in his life and to share the good news of Christ? And my second question is that, do you know Jesus intimately? More intimately than just, I know he died for my sins and that he's my Savior. Do you know what he was like? What his character was like? We always say, what would Jesus do? But do you actually know what he would do in a situation like that? That's how you know you have an intimate relationship with Jesus. And it's found in his word. So my encouragement to you is, know your calling. Know where God has called you and what he's called you to do, and run full steam ahead in that calling. And secondly, as you share Jesus, make sure you know the very man you're trying to share with people. Spend time getting to know him intimately. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you so much that you died for every single one of us on this earth. Lord, you took the place of our punishment. and you received it instead of us, God. That is grace. None of us deserved it. Every single one of us deserved condemnation, Lord, and you took our place. Thank you. Thank you. And God, as we come around your table now, and as we remember what you did, Lord, may we be grateful and thankful for who you are and what you've done for us. The greatest thing you could ever do for us was to set us free from sin. And because of your grace, we're able to stand here today and say, I am a son, I am a daughter of the Most High God. And it's all because of you and your grace. First Corinthians 11:23, it says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I want to ask those who are serving, won't you just come up to the table? And as they bring around the elements tonight, won't you just hold both of them? And we're going to eat and drink together. And as they come around, and as just a soft song gets played in the background, just prepare your heart before God to receive these elements. Take some time just to settle your heart, to do business with God, to know that when you stand before him now and remember what he did for you, that you do it as a righteous person, without sin.
God, we look to you tonight. Above the singing, God, above the music, above the songs, let your name be lifted high, Jesus. Let your name be honored, God. And we commit all that we are to you, God, and everything that we do, and we reach towards you.
Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your body and your blood that was broken and shed for us. And Lord, we remember you tonight. We remember what you've done for us. It's the greatest gift that anyone could have ever received. It's that you, our Lord and Savior, laid down your life for mine. So let us eat and drink together as we remember this. Father, as we go our separate ways tonight, I pray, God, that we'd remember what you've challenged us with tonight. Lord, I pray that we'd take some time to reflect on it and take some time to see where in our lives we need to change. Not for us, not for any man, but for you and for your kingdom, God. Be with us all as we go home. Be with our families. Keep us safe. And let us be one as we go our separate ways tonight. Come back again and meet next week in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please join us for some hot chocolate and some coffee. And yes, it's free. Amen. Have a lovely week.